Okay, today, Sunday, August 2nd, 2015, it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast, it is 10 a.m. in the East Coast, and it's 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel. Today on BBS Radio, on The Impossible Truth, we are going to talk about love, as the Jewish calendar just celebrated the Day of Love that had so many events that we were questioning what is love is all about and how come people have such a hard time tolerate and love each other. And for that reason, I call upon one of the best guests that I can ever call upon, and a man that needs no introduction, a man that has a heart of a lion and an incredible knowledge of God and humanity, Mr. Gerald O'Donnell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here because, you know, last week we had to celebrate the Day of Love, you know, when we have to give love to each other. And sure enough, we had a gay parade and a stabbing in the middle of town with no, you know, alert. Afterwards, somebody went and burned out two houses in Arab neighborhoods, killing in the process a child, a baby, and wounding terribly his parents. What's wrong with that picture? Why people cannot just get along?
Because people do not realize that they're all connected, like cells in an organism. That not only the Jewish people are connected, but Jewish people and the rest of the nations are connected, and then the rest of the nations and the Jewish people and all of nature are connected. It's all of this is connected as one, inside the one, for the sake of the one. We have a perspective which is natural, which is a perspective of being whatever we are, whether we are human being with a certain birth program, culture, and then we have that culture or program. And whether we are, parts of nature as animals, we have that a different type of program. But the life force that's going into all of us is the same life force. That's the life force that animates everything.
I was having a clearance about the fact that, you know, people of light are people of light, as you said to me and you mentioned in your conversation with me, said, you know, they are bad and there is good. People of light keep the light, and the one who darkness, it doesn't matter what religion they are. Because there are people, they came along and they actually came to the plate with forgiveness. So they gave us a great example. So to show that it doesn't really matter. It just between dark and light, there is, you know, the choice of mankind.
Yes. One of my favorite prophets is Isaiah, Yeshayahu, which is really all written about this era right now that we are living. Everything is written, and if you go in the first four chapters of Yeshayahu, you will see quite openly the manifestation and the prediction of what we are all undergoing as a creation, not only as a state in Israel or overseas. This is the realization that we are all connected under the one and created by the Creator. That everything, there's only one Creator. That's very important to understand. There is one Creator. There aren't two Creators. It's not by calling a creator a name or a different name that a creator becomes duplicated or cloned, because that's impossible.
Exactly.
It's your perception of it that changes it. But a creator remains a creator, and as a matter of fact, it has no name. It has a code associated with it, by the way, by which it operates to connect to creation, but that's not necessarily a name. So that when we call God Hashem, which means there, is a misconception of God, of thinking that God is only there and not here. Because in reality,
right,
He becomes present here when we bring the idea of Shem to here, to Paul, because the Messiah in Hebrew is Mashiach, but when you reverse the letters, you get Chai Shem, that the one that you thought was over there becomes alive in you, not in this work to make the one alive in you. God alive in you is a work of alignment, where you align to this idea of God being one.
Excellent.
That's when the Messiah happens to arise in all of us. That's when the, if you want, the dead, because we are considered dead because we're not aligned with that notion yet. So that's when the dead become alive. Really alive, because real life is a plural. In Hebrew, you don't say chai, you say chayim. It's plural. You cannot define a separated life as being separate, because everything is connected as chayim, nishmat chayim. There's one neshama, there's one soul, and there's multiple manifestations of that same soul all over creation, in the creation of Adam. There's not a Jewish Adam and a non-Jewish Adam. There is just one creation here.
And people still have the hard time understanding it, and they want to divide, because as I hear all the verses that the Messiah is coming, now the different brands of religion start to say, who is against the Messiah? And why, you know, they're alerting everything that something bad has to happen before it. And I'm saying, no, if the Messiah arrived, it means that everybody will be happy. It's
correct.
Not a Messiah for one person.
There cannot be a Messiah for one person, first of all, because if you look at the word again, I'm going to say the word Messiah means Chai Shem, God is alive. First of all, God has never died.
Sure.
That's an impossibility.
I'm meant for that.
Because if God would be dead or gone, we wouldn't exist, because we only exist because we are connected. Whether we know it or not, or we realize it or not, we get a greater awareness of it or not, God is still here. The Creator is still manifested and animating with His life energy, that neshama, you know, that higher soul. He's animating the whole body of Adam, whether the Jews, non-Jews, so to speak, Arabs or Muslims, because these are all new religions. It's like relatively new religions and systems. You know, there was creation before all those systems existed, and it was still operating. Thank God. So, and it will exist after that too. So this animation of life is crucial. We are all one body, but we are operating like tumor do. Like everybody's forming, fortresses around their own belief system and their own system, and they're sucking the energy from the whole biology of creation, thinking that they can. That's how they're going to compete and get stronger. When in reality, they're destroying the supportive element, which is the biology, because the way a biology functions is in symbiosis, is by operating when you have a homeostasis in the whole system, a balance, and not when they start forming fortresses and attacking each other. And the realization, okay. And they only create those tumors when the cells themselves are unaware that they're connected to the rest of the body. They think they can get away, but and they should accumulate more goods, more money, more power, more this and this, and then their right to exist is more important than the right of other cells. And then what happens is that the whole biology starts falling apart and it cannot function. And that's when the pain at one point becomes so strong because of the manifestation that, you know, you may need to do something about it. So we, in our own little world here, we tend to want to do things in a drastic manner. So we go, you know, cut or slash or destroy the part that thinks that it has to be more powerful. But that doesn't do much. It's not enough, because what is really needed is for those cells that are insulated, that have created those walls of insulation around them, they have to change their own consciousness. They have to connect. And in order to connect, the only way you connect to a cell that does not realize yet its role or has lost its way is by giving it a higher level of awareness and consciousness through the act of loving it. Because if you go and fight it, it will create more walls. You can't change anything in a biology or in a creation if you're fighting groups by saying my God is stronger than your God, or his name is stronger than your name, and you have to call him by the name that I've decided he should be called, and then he dies and he's going to come back, or things that really don't make any sense when you look at them from the outside. But when you're in the inside, you inside that program, you have lost the ability to even think. So those cells, if you want, and I'm giving a metaphor of cells and humans, have lost the ability to realize what they're here for. Each cell has a particular holy task. Every single cell. And the whole purpose of every single cell or every single human is to align back to the oneness of the whole creation. You know, when we say we have to respect the foreigner that lives in your land, it's a very holy task. It's not just because we experienced it before. No, it's the opposite. The Jewish people experience being foreigners in foreign land. We still are doing it today. And 67 years ago, it was the norm. And then, in, so to speak, Egypt before, it was definitely the norm too. And what was needed for them is to have the experience of the pain that it is to be subjugated by others, under the control of others who claim that they have the truth, so that when we finally go back to our roots, and I'm not only talking about our roots as far as a land or a physical place, I'm talking about our roots, about how our roots, about the reason why we are created, not only as Jewish people, but as humans. And we should be able to project that root knowledge, which is that we are all one. And then we should respect the foreigner that lives in your land, and the one we think is a foreigner because he's behaving differently, because we finally got the realization through the pain that we experienced. We had to go through this, and we are not doing it. Not doing it in Israel, and we're not doing it to the others. It's trying to explain to them that they have to stop this misbehavior or thinking that they own God. No one owns God.
Right, that's for sure.
There is no ownership or real estate ownership of God. Neither is there real estate ownership of Israel. This is an illusion. Neither is there any real estate ownership of the earth. This is still God's creation.
Exactly.
Or rights to go in the ocean and drill and destroy nature and species by the thousands. We don't own this. We never will.
No, but
because all this is papers and it burns down and we disappear. But the earth stays. The creation needs to stay. It's our role to bring back that Shem, that idea that God is there, Sham, and make it alive in us so that Shem becomes Po. And then you have the Messiah. It's not a human being that's going to fly from heavens and be called by a certain name. Of course not. It's that change, major change in awareness, where we accept and tolerate others for being different, because they need to be different, because otherwise it would be boring to death to see people that are cloning. You know, if everybody would be cloning themselves, who wants to be in a world where everybody is the same? And God says that in Isaiah, he shows the behavior of humanity, the so-called, the fact that we have lost our ways at all levels, the fact that we are accumulating only idols that he says are the fruits of the actions and the creations of our own hands, because we don't really worship God anymore. We worship men, we worship technology, we worship what we have created, and we think that this is absolutely incredible, by far more incredible. And we think we're going to solve everything through the idols that we have created. No, we're not going to solve anything through the idols we have created. They are tools. But like any tools, you can use it for good or for evil. Because good and evil are not located across somewhere else, you know, amongst others. Good and evil is always within yourself. You always have the choice to choose between the tree of good and evil. We are in it. Everybody. So that choice has to be made within ourselves, each and every one of us.
Absolutely,
and when we do it,
absolutely. And Gerard, let's go to a break, listen to some music,
yes.
Let you breathe for a nice, but it's the choice between right and wrong. It's up to us. That's something that everybody has to take to heart and remember. It's up to us. And if you do it early, in your early age, you're much better on. You know, don't miss of choosing the right way. Let's get some music and we'll be right back. Don't go, Gerard.
Mm-hmm.
כשהשמש נמחקת בשמיים והלב מטפטף לי דרך העיניים.
No, not many people have the chance to love with all their heart and with all their soul. And sometimes it feels different. But when you talk about God, God walks, you know, in you. He's with you. So you just have to find the space and understand what it means. And today we have Gerard O'Donnell with us, and he's from the probablefuture.com, incredible site, incredible help for humanity that you guys all should try and tap into it. So, no, not try, just do it, because Gerard O'Donnell is one of a kind in this universe. And I'm lucky to have him today to talk about the universe. Gerard, we're back.
Yes, thank you.
So we were talking about the right. People have the choice. They need to choose between right or wrong. And the fact that they will choose right will bring them closer to God and give the universe the existence, and it will become a flow less. It will be a continuation of life and understanding. The question is, what happens if somebody doesn't choose? Why person think that you know, choosing wrong is good? Why is it? Hard question.
Because even though humanity is in age in what we think is history thinks of itself as being evolved and advanced, the souls. Most of the souls are very, 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 very young. They're like little children. And if at the level of the perception of the Creator, there is great, great, tremendous love for all the souls, no matter where they come from, what origin they come from, what program they've been inculcated from birth by their parents or by life. And there's a desire for them to realize that they are not separated souls, but they are part of a unity that needs to operate together, and not to try to conquer and operate on the basis of force, of power and of conquest. The other. In order to be able to, so to speak, survive, there's a desire for those souls, and I would really wish for people to read slowly, very slowly, the five, at least at the very least, the five first chapters of Isaiah, because when God talks about he planted a vineyard in the mysticism of the old times is a symbol to the what I call the lattice of creation, the whole creation, the way it operates, what people have called somehow the matrix, but that's a lower level.
Right.
And he said, I planted a vineyard, and I gave it everything, all the possibilities that I could think of. And it was the most beautiful vineyard that I can think of. And I wanted that vineyard to be a you know, to feed all the children that I have, and it's not addressed only to Israel, of course not. It's addressed to the world. That's the creation itself. And he said they've pillaged my vineyard. They've misunderstood. They call good evil and evil good. They separate themselves in behaviors that are detrimental to themselves, you know, and detrimental to my creation, because the creation is not operating anymore in any kind of harmony. And weapons of war are used all the time against each other, and then are becoming a business. And then corruption is eating away, literally destroying their souls, because it's like a virus, you know. If you don't operate, when a system becomes corrupt, and at the basis of the system is a bribery, and then becoming part of certain groups, so that you can then, get some parts of the fruits, what you think the fruits of what the creation is offering on the outside. This is a real cancer that spreads very, very fast, and it's very, very dangerous. And he talks about this, and he talks about the separation between genders, the way genders have separated when they're supposed to be not only cooperative, but they form one. Men and female form one. They're not from two. And when you have a separation, and everybody's becoming haughty and running around trying to show their outer beauty, but not their inner beauty. People are not even showing the inner beauty. Don't do they really care about this anymore? It's all plastic. It's all fake. It's all something that will not. All this is there. When you have children that are starting to tell the parents what what should do, instead of having the children who have less experience being respectful and wise enough to understand that experience and older age is something that they should respect, because at one point they will then teach their own children. So this world is an inverted role right now. And this is the story of creation. And there comes a time, and this is in that prophecy, where the one himself, the creator himself, needs to intervene. He's already intervening all day long. Now you will say, where is he intervening? Where is the grand scheme of things? He's intervening to keep his children alive, because there is a tremendous amount of love there. And he wants that intervention to be as little painful as possible. And some people misunderstandingly, especially in certain groups of fanatical people in certain religion, including ours, find comfort in the idea that God will come with power and then banish and punish the others, so to speak, who have not seen the light as they think they have seen, and then they think that because they have, so to speak, worshipped God by doing rituals, that God loves them more than he loves the others. And he warns against this. He said, I have no need for your sacrifices. They make me want to vomit.
Right.
He says that.
Right.
I have no need for you're going to Shabbat and doing your rituals to make me want to vomit. And you say, not because of what you're doing, because at the same time, you're not taking care of yourself. I want to see you taking care of the widow, taking care of the oppressed, taking care of the sick freely, not only because it's an economical advantage to a system. No, because your heart calls for it, because you are aligning yourself to what I am, because I'm pure heart. When you say love God with all your heart, it means align your heart with the heart of God, because all God is a heart. There's nothing else. If you imagine the symbol of love, which is lev in Hebrew, you know, it's not a coincidence that we say love, and in Hebrew it's lev. You know, the heart. And then the symbol of love is the heart. It's a pulsing energy that pulses through all our veins and through all of creation. And it's one heart. It's not two. we are just little hearts pulsing within a good, a gigantic heart. The problem is that our heart has turned to stone. It's not anymore aligning to the understanding that for a father, a creator, all of his creation, all of his children are himself. He wants to reconnect to them, but he can't do this if they're turning away from him and they're worshiping themselves, their little idols that they're creating, and their little systems, and they're in the midst of polluting themselves with chemicals, polluting themselves with bad thoughts, angry thoughts, and polluting themselves with the idea that they have to go and punish the others in the name of God. God has no need for police, a police system. We are not God's police.
Absolutely. Thank
God, God can take care of itself. And God never died. It doesn't have to come back. The only way he's going to come back is if we invite him in our heart. Because the only way we invite him in our heart is by aligning ourselves to us being God. There's only one God. He was there before Matan Torah. He was there before. It's always been the same God. When we are given messages, we have to see the love in the message, not the punishment side. And a lot of people never see the love. They see the punishment. They say, oh, if I don't do this, then he's going to come. God is no... It's very painful. That's why people are waiting, asking, why isn't God punishing earlier? Well, God is not punishing earlier because the act of punishing for God is extremely painful to God. Because it's like you going to your child. Imagine this, and you know it's your child. You feel it. It's in you because you're animating it. It's even stronger. That love is stronger than we have towards our own children because our own children, in some perception, are separated from us. In the perception of Shem, he's really here. He's in your breath. The neshama is nishmat. It's breath. Your breath, every single time you breathe in the air of life, you know, the oxygen, you're taking in, you're inviting God in and out. That same pulse, that same enormous pulse of creation, that same air that flows into everything from the bird in the sky to the fish in the ocean, that oxygen that's coming in through us, to all of it, is free. It's circulating and recirculating, and everything is connected. It's just one creation. So for God to punish a child harshly is an act that he's trying not to do. He's trying to do it in loving manner, slowly, and he's sending messages after messages after messages. And the problem with mankind is that they say, well, you know, the messenger has been here. Now they only want to see the punishment. And in Isaiah, he said, oi, it means be careful. Because I will need to do something very drastic, because I knew that your ways are going to go far away from the act of creation, the act of loving each other, the act of accepting others, whether they're other genders or other species or other, so to speak, what you think are colors of races or religions, or, you know, and realizing that we all form one. And I'm the Holy One of Israel, not the country of Israel, because my name is Israel. I'm the Yesh. I'm the existence. I give existence to you. By the way, it's not Israel. It's Yisrael. So Yashar, straight to God, El. That's the name of God. That's the connection, straight to God. He said, I allow you to become Israel because you have this ability because I'm in you. You don't have to go look for me in a book, you don't have to look for me in a temple, you don't have to look for me in a mosque, you don't have to look for me in a synagogue, I'm everywhere. But look for me.
Amazing.
So then love me because
Amazing.
All I am is love. I'm Ahava, I'm the Father loving you as a child. In Ahava you have Av, the Father. That's the love of the Av, the Father. But we have to understand that the Father of creation is also the Mother. It's also the creation itself, it's still everything. So we have lost this understanding of us being inside and part of the same Holy One of Israel. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in anything, if you're an atheist, it doesn't matter what. What we all need to do ourselves, each one, on his own is to realign to that realization. And when you get that realization, then Shem, the one that you think is over there, as Shemesh, as the sun there, the light, if you want, outside, becomes the light inside. And you light up with this awareness. That's true light. And then you get High Shem. Then the Messiah is here. That's the era of the Messiah. But if we don't do this, because of the way creation operates, there is a need to rebalance everything by the one, and he needs to do this. But he's begging us, when this happens, not to be happy. He says, if you are happy, but the others are suffering, or if you are applauding when you see the others suffering, I will not forgive you, because these are all me. And in fact, they are all you. Your brothers are you. In Echad, in one, in the word one, you have Ach, brothers. They're all brothers. We're all brothers and sisters. Ach and Achayot. You know, we Achim and Achayot, we are all one. We're not many in the eyes of the one. But we don't have this realization yet. So do not ever be happy with the suffering of somebody else, thinking, oh, God is punishing him. And this mentality has to be taken away from its roots, because it has polluted the mind of man on many, 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 many levels for a long time already. Not only amongst the religions, but even outside of religion. It could be a political system. It could be anything. Or it could be a family saying, God will punish you because of what you've done to me. No. The idea of revenge is not something that's part of God. Why would God want to ask for revenge? He wants balance. When you have your own biology, you don't want revenge against your own biology. You want the biology to function in balance. That's when the light comes out of Jerusalem. That's when the light comes from Zion. Zion is God, by the way. People that say you shouldn't say the word, well, please say it, because Zion comes from Tzafon, means from hidden. That's the hidden one. That's the upper Jerusalem. You want the upper Jerusalem, which is always pure, to connect to the lower Jerusalem, which has gotten polluted and impure. And you want this call for unity to come out of Jerusalem, and the real Torah, which is this Torah of unity, to come out of Jerusalem. And that's the only reason we, as a people, were given the idea of one God above all the other gods made out of our own hands, the idols, if you want, which right now, I say again, is technology, because nobody's creating little idols, or most of the people don't do this anymore. The real God, the real creator of everything, this idea that Abraham got, we have to bring back this, because we're still not even there yet. Were we to be there, then Yishmael and Yitzhak will make peace. This has to come in the awareness of mankind, and then Yisrael, the Iz, will go. This direct connection, Yashar El, will exist in the heart of every man, woman, and child, and the children, will, as a matter of fact, will have it more than the parents. And they will not control the parents; they will teach the parents, because they're still pure. And all this has been written by prophets in our perception, 3,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago.
Well, then we they get were lost closer.
Because, I'm sorry.
They were close. I said, then they were closer to God. They understood God better. That's why they lived longer, too, because
yes,
their body was not, going bad from all the misdeed. That's how people say, you have to eat right, you have to be to get older. And the truth of the matter is, they used to be older because they walked with God much, much more, much better than we are doing.
Yes, they did. Yes. Yeah, they tell you, take vitamins. You don't take vitamins. Take your connection. Every morning, just the way you want, and just connect. It's all the same God. And it doesn't matter if you follow a certain ritual or not a ritual, and how you dress and don't dress. What is important is what you do inside your heart. Not what uniform you wear. So connect to God. Give it some time, On the day of the Shabbat, which is the Shin, the upper level, the original trilogy, which is the Holy One, the crown, and the Bat, the daughter, which is creation, unite the daughter with the Holy One. He tried this for one day. Don't discuss business. Don't go around saying, oh, this is a good time to do some special meals and have fun and walk around and walk in nature. That's fine, but go a little further. Take the time on your own to connect, because this is very special. And then that's why the prophet says, when the Messiah will come, the only thing that's going to be important is respect my Shabbat. Means after you've taken care of all the activities of the week, which you need to do, because you need to take care of your creation. That's your role. Our role is we are co-creators. We're not just little entities born in the void with a brain and a DNA that have no role. We all have a role. We are all very important. No one is more important than another. They have different tasks, but we are here to work during the week. But on one day, we have to bring back that connection, because we and the One are one. Because otherwise, you wouldn't be called the One. Said Bayom Ahu, on that day, you would have a Hashem, the Shem, the One that you thought, you know, the Yud Hevavi was there, will be one, and his name will not be Shem anymore. His name will not be any other name. His name will be one, Echad, which means it's going to be a unity of brotherhood all over the world. That's the era of the Messiah.
Hallelujah. Listen, we should try it. The universe did not try that one. Yeah, nothing else. Why you don't try that?
Because I think Israel should talk. The leaders of Israel are there for that. They should not talk about the danger that they are facing. We all have the right to self-defense, but have to understand that the reason this is even happening is because we have not yet taught this knowledge to the people, which are our brothers. We have it. We had it. We never lost it, but we're not putting it out. Instead of selling weapons, sell love. Bring it out.
Right. You better. That's what we're doing today, Gerald.
There is no other way. There's nothing else. And when we do this, the One will not then need to intervene very strongly, and then we will get what we think is paradise. In reality, it's not even paradise. It's beyond. It's a new creation. It's a new Torah, because there will be no fear in it. The element of fear, which creates aggression, which creates this desire to hoard or to compete, this whole element of fear will not exist. Everything will be made available, not only through us, because of our doing, is because of our connection. When you get Yashar El, you get that connection straight to God, the right type of technology will be here, the right type of advice on how to use it, the right type of healing will be gifted. It will be all gifted. You won't have to be charged. You won't have to run a credit card to get healed by God. You know, you won't have to run a credit card to get a roof over your head, or to get climate balance and get the rain when you need the rain, and then the food when you need the food. And this will not be the case. You won't have to manipulate anything in nature, because it will be all done. Because you're talking about eternal intelligence and infinite intelligence that created this in order to experience itself, because this whole purpose of creation is for God to experience itself into his own children. Like you want, we have this natural tendency to want to experience ourselves to expand ourselves into our own children. God wanted to experience himself into many.
So hold on a second. Let's do something, you know, let's take a breath and think how we can pass the message along, me and you now here in front of the universe who listen to us, because this is on internet. It means that anyone in the universe that God will can listen to it. When you tap into your life and everybody's life, and when they see the challenges, and they see how difficult it is, and, you know, people have to work hard, and, you know, all those globalized economy routine took over all the wealth of the world.
Yes.
Now they are looking, and they feel their plates need to be fed. How we can explain to them to bring some back, some source of light, of wonder, and let them have the stream of life, because once you have the stream of life back in your life, you'll be on the right track and God will provide for you. That's what we believe. Give us a two minutes instruction how a man that is not savvy, who does not understand, and you said let's read the Isaiah. Yeah, it's a good start. Now, what's so important about Isaiah that gave us the tools to understand God?
Because in Isaiah, all he talks about is about this era, and he talks in very open, very powerful ways about this era. But it's not about reading Isaiah; it's by making this making this a reality within yourself. You cannot impose anything upon anybody else. It's you have the duty yourself to change yourself within. And when you're faced what we call between a choice between, we all have good and we all have evil in ourselves. Everyone.
Right.
It's the constant choices. We are always making choices within ourselves between choosing what is good, meaning what is aligning, what is unifying. And evil is what is causing conflict and separating. We always have that choice in ourselves. And good is based on the. It's very easy. Good is always a product of love, and the other one is a product of fear. So when you are in whatever operations you are, your cell, a cell operating in a biology, the kidneys, or you're here in a corporation, or you're here in a governmental institution, or you're in a leadership position of any level, or you are just walking around, no one is more important than another. Everybody is important. As long as you decide in your heart to constantly be aligned, because you take that day, one day off, to have this alignment and be in contact, it will change you. That day alone, in being aligned, will change you. You will choose, and then you have to be courageous, because when you choose, you have the right to refuse to do things that cause fear, cause separation, cause violence. We're always asking, the children nowadays are suddenly waking up and attacking people and doing horrific things. Why is this happening? It's not happening only because of them. It's happening because the world has left and them in the sense of abandonment. They feel this world is not for them anymore. They don't feel love in this world. They feel maybe, a quest for power, a quest for distraction, a quest for pleasure, a quest for control, but that's not what they really want. It sounds ridiculous what I'm going to tell you, but very often people who are then ready to create, because they're misguided, create havoc, are basically at the end of the rope, and then they enter, and they're taken in by groups because they are still children. They're not mature enough in their soul to realize what they're causing and what is the real cause of the problem. And they have to work on themselves and say no to this, but at the same time they have to work on themselves and understanding that what they see around is not the way it has to be or should be, because that's not the way of the one. That's the way of the separation and this is the way that man has created. These are the idols that man has created. And we have to bring them down, but we cannot. We have to bring them down in a way which is peaceful. And you cannot do this if you don't do this from within. The same way you can only change yourself from within, you can only change an institution from within. You cannot go face to face against an army, because that's eventually it's going to exhaust you, kill you, and maim you, and cause havoc everywhere. So you have to send the message out. There's nothing sophisticated about this or difficult. It's the message that there's one creator, and all the children are the children and product of the creator, and they're still within the creator, and they're still connected. That's it. And then therefore they have to operate within the perception that the creator has for them. Like, they can understand this when they are fathers. So if they can imagine being the father of all creation, they can understand father and mother of creation, because the mother is what gives us the nutrients and the supporting element and the nature and everything, this magnificent creation. This is still one. We have to continue to operate and try to align ourselves, constantly align ourselves to that perception, and have the courage to say no to evil, which is only we can do, each and every one of us.
Right.
So if somebody comes to you and say, it says so somewhere, or this guru or this master or this rabbi or this priest or this whatever says you should do this, you listen to your heart, because God is in your heart. And if your heart says no, you don't feel good about it, you don't do it.
Exactly.
And then I know this will cause less havoc than continuing the way by which we are continuing, having people doing what they're doing, you know, scientists continuing to create tools that could be used for incredible things, but they're not necessarily using it for that now. They're using it for dangerous pursuits, or technologies are used for dangerous pursuits. And we because we are so powerful, we don't realize it. Just by the ability to choose and say no to evil and yes to connection. And there
All
is,
right. now,
it costs nothing.
Gerard, we have a few minutes to the end of the show, and today is Sunday, so we have no overtime that we can go on. But I want to end this conversation with, first of all, with the promise that you are going to come back again to our show, because Be'ezrat Hashem, because we really want you to instruct us how to keep the line. And if there is a metaphoric line that somebody can use, which I read of old rabbi this morning, it's, you know, when everything is smoking and you cannot see, or it's raining so hard, you're driving and you try to keep on going, you know, try to keep the line, the white line, which is the Torah. It's your heart. Understand of what God really wants you, you know, to choose right. So that's always, you know, align yourself with that line to keep on going, no matter if you see the road ahead or not. It will take you through, you know, to the other side safely. That's what it means when you keep, because right now people cannot see it through. There is so much smoke, and people, you know, from the other side wants to throw sand in everybody's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to keep, you know, our heart strong and follow the Torah, the Bible, the basic rules of humanity, and start choosing right, and knowing that we all, you know, one, and there is a God, and it's not us, but we are part of His creation.
It is God. Yeah, it is. No, there is a God. And it is us, but we are not all of it. It's very important to understand. There is a famous writing. You have heard of Rumi, the Sufi poet?
No, but I have.
Okay, well,
he
was a Sufi poet, very, very advanced being anyway. And he wrote something that was beautiful. He said someone came to heavens and knocked on the door of the gates of heavens. And he said, so God answered, I said, who is this? And he said, it's me, and I'm ready to enter. And they wouldn't let him in. So then he worked more on himself, more. He said, and finally he came up, and then when God asked him, who is it? And he said, I'm you. And then the door opened. So this shift has to be made, that about the oneness of it all. This is very, very important to understand that. It's the same spirit that's in you, that's animating you. It's not the car that you're driving. It's not important what car you're driving. It's you that's inside the car that's important. So
right.
Even the car looks banged up, and then it's in, and then don't worry about the car. you know.
Yeah, but don't ruin my line. I said to everybody, there is a God and it's not us. It means that we need to obey. We need to be by the right because he has the rule. He's in charge. Let's not make a wrong assumption here.
I'm not.
He's in charge.
He's in charge, but he doesn't want to punish us. So we need to obey by fear. There's a difference between obeying by choice, because you know this is the choice, because it comes from love, than to obey
course,
by fear,
but,
because you think it's coming from judgment.
And the adjustment is very painful, so you better keep it right. That's what we need. He says, you know, I don't want to hurt you, but God, if you do it wrong, I cannot. You know, earthquake needs to happen when people, you know, when the universe is going to whack. He has the universe to maintain. We see a thousand years in once. We see a segment of our life. We don't see it at all. So we have to understand that there is repercussions, there is stuff that we need. The difference is, if you're on the right way or on the wrong way, it's a big difference. So choose
There's
life.
Always a repercussions. It's like if you take polluted food or polluted stuff, there's always, at one point or another, there's going to be a repercussion. But you've made that choice to eat it, you know? So there's always a repercussion. But it's not, it doesn't come, it becomes because of your choice. It doesn't become because God chose it for you.
Absolutely. Now we have to wrap it up. Geraldo Donald, thank you so much for coming over. It was wonderful having you. Let's talk again some more and let's see how the universe evolves. Guys, we're running out of time. It's been a wild, as usual, 1 hour of the impossible truth. We actually face what our choices can make and what our choices can be if we choose right. And the truth of the matter is, it's all up to you. So we're going to end up this
thank
note
you.
With some music. Thank you so much for coming over. I love you, Bernard, as usual. Gerard, my friend. And be good. Probablefuture.com. Go online and find Geraldo Donald, the master, the beautiful person that this universe gave us as a gift to humanity. Thank you so much for
you,
Sanjay.
Thank you. Lots of
Thank
love
you.
To you. Okay.
I love Bye. You too. Bye, sweetheart. Bye-bye. And to all of you, we'll talk to you tomorrow. It's going to be at 10 a.m. West Coast, and it will be 1 p.m. East Coast and 8 p.m. in Jerusalem time. Monday, it's going to be all about news and what's going on in the rest of the world. God bless you all. Take care. It's Orly Benny Davis, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.